Hello, and welcome to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com. My name is Dr. Tim R. Norton with Simulytic Solutions, LLC. And in this show, we're going to discuss cloud computing in my Microtech Exchange series. To learn more about me and my background, be sure to check out my GoGo profile. If you have any questions you would like to ask me, please use the question comment box below. All right, let's get started. This series, Microtech Exchange, is a series of radio shows that provides specialists in industry practical insights into technology from research and academic publications. Each show focuses on a recent article in a research publication and, based on a combination of my 30-plus years in the computing industry and 20-plus years university teaching, explains how that research can make a difference in a practical way. Because this is a brief or micro exchange of technology from the research world to industry practitioners, a full reference to the article discussed is provided to allow interested listeners access to whatever level of detail they require to get the most value out of the tech exchange. This show looks at a view of cloud computing from the University of California, Berkeley Reliable Adaptive Distributed Systems Laboratory. The authors of the article are Michael Amherst, Armando Fox, Rain Griffith, Anthony Joseph, Randy Katz, Andy Kowinski, Gung Ho Lee, David Patterson, Ariel Ramkin, Ion Stokoa, and Marty Zaharia. The article was published in the Communications of the ACM, April 2010, Volume 53, Number 4, Page 50. Now, this is a fairly long article, and it has a tremendous amount of information in it. Therefore, this article will be discussed over several radio shows. So I will include a little introduction of cloud computing in each of the radio shows as either a refresher or so that you can listen to the radio show of your choice. For more details, you can certainly look at the article we're going to discuss because it has a nice overview of cloud computing with some good examples. But very briefly, cloud computing is providing computing capabilities over the internet. And there are a number of vendors that are doing this. Amazon, Google, Microsoft, and others. But what kind of computing are we talking about? How is this organized and how do you use it? Well, the article talks about different categories, and they make the statement that only one of them is applicable. And I disagree to some extent. And so let's talk about what the common industry categories are. Although, understand that there are no official standards for this. So part of what the article is pointing out is that this is still a growing and developing environment. So you really have to look at what an individual vendor says they're delivering, and it may be somewhere between these categories. The first one is infrastructure as a service. That's capital I, small a, capital S. And that is basically a hardware infrastructure. It's just the computing environment so that you can put on it whatever operating system will run on that particular computing environment. All the applications you want, it's basically as if you bought a computer, you get to do with it what you want, but you don't have to pay for it all the time. The next is platform as a service. That's capital P, lowercase a, capital S. Platform as a service is the same as infrastructure with a service as a service, but with the operating system environment included. So it's a more of a platform. And it may be a Windows platform or a Unix platform or a Linux platform, but it includes more than just the hardware. And the cloud provider then supports that platform environment so that the cloud user doesn't have to do that. And last is software as a service. That's capital S, lowercase a, capital S. And software as a service is buying access to a software application. Salesforce.com is a good example of that. You're not interested in what the platform is, what the infrastructure is. You don't care about the computers it's running on. All you want to be able to do is interact with that software, with that application. So those are the three kind of broad categories. Now, the article makes the statement that infrastructure as a service and platform as a service are too ill-defined to be usable, and that they're really subsets of software as a service. And although I see their point, I disagree, because there are specific needs for infrastructure as a service and platform as a service that really are outside of the motivations for software as a service. However, the observations that the paper makes can be applied to any three of these categories or to whatever the cloud provider is defining their service as, because they don't have to pick one of these categories. And in fact, they may be between them. They may provide something more than what we would talk about in one of these categories, but less than what's in another one. And that's okay. In the Cloud Computing One radio show under the Microtech Exchange series, we talked about the economics of cloud computing and introduced the notion of the top 10 obstacles and opportunities. So let's start looking at these individual obstacles and opportunities from a view of cloud computing, UC Berkeley Reliable Adaptive Distributed Systems Laboratory publication. Number one, business continuity and service availability. So one of the obstacles to cloud computing is to fully understand the reliability of the cloud provider. When you purchase equipment and put it into your own data center, you understand the reliability of it. You have that under your control. But by moving all of that computing resources to another location under the control of another company, that introduces risk. So what is the reliability? How do you determine the reliability of a cloud provider? And this is a very difficult situation in this new paradigm of cloud computing. How do you measure outages? Can you get information from the cloud provider as to what their outages really are? I mean, certainly if the outage is large enough, some of the large providers have had outages recently, to make the headlines in the newspaper, you know about it. But there's not any government reporting requirement. There's no specification for them to provide information. There's not even a very good definition of what an outage is. So what might be an outage to one group of cloud users might not even be noticed by another group. So is the outage going to be associated with physical equipment failure? Or is it going to be associated with some non-technical situation? An operator can make an error and bring down part of the cloud computing environment, which affects some of the users but not others. So is that an outage? A misconfiguration can cause a cloud computing user to not be able to get a machine started or get connected to one of their systems. Because remember, most of cloud computing is implemented in a virtualized computing space. And the cloud computers or the cloud providers do this to maximize their use of their resources. So when you look at what the cloud provider offers, do they have single points of failure? And how can you identify those? And how can you map those single points of failure into your business model to determine the impact of a failure because of that on your use of the cloud environment? So when you look at cloud computing, you have to be able to see not only the opportunity of providing resources that let you continue your business when you have some of the events we talked about in the earlier radio show, such as peak demand or variable workloads or unknown market reactions to your products. But you also have to understand the obstacles from the point of view of the cloud provider, in that they may have internal issues that you're not aware of, that you can't see, that they don't expose, because that's internal to their business. That's not part of their service, but it's how they manage what goes on inside. Which brings up another point about business continuity. What do you do if you have a service provider that for one reason or another becomes unacceptable? Maybe they don't provide the resources timely enough. They don't provide the responsiveness, the performance that you're looking for. But even more so, they start to have financial problems. They maybe even go out of business. What do you do? Your data is in a system that's in the cloud. You need to extract what you've been doing and move it someplace else, because you need to keep your business going. There are no data exchange standards between providers. And this is one of the major obstacles from the point of view of the cloud user. What's being done about it? Are cloud providers getting together and working out standards through the standards organizations? No, they're not. Why not? Because from the cloud provider point of view, they do not want to facilitate or enable cloud users to move around. They're looking at differentiating their service, not becoming a commodity service. So this is, again, the standard issue between users and producers, providers. The users want to drive whatever it is to a commodity so that it's all equal and I can buy my computing resource from vendor A or from vendor B and I get the same thing, and now I'm just dealing with price. The vendors, on the other hand, want to make sure that they're differentiated, that they have value add, that they have something nobody else can offer, and they want to get you as a customer, and they want to keep you. And so they want to make it more difficult for you to move on. So this is a real dichotomy when you're looking at using the cloud for mission-critical business functions. Business continuity, from the point of view of the cloud user, becomes a critical factor. What do you do if there's problems with that cloud provider, or if the cloud provider suddenly just goes away? It's one thing to talk to them about natural disasters and disaster recovery and backup, etc. But non-technical reasons are really a much greater risk than the technical reasons. So issue number one, business continuity and service availability, is really seen from both the provider and the user's point of view. And the opportunity there is to provide an extra layer of business continuity and service availability to the user's business application functionality. But the risk or the obstacle is in how the cloud provider addresses business continuity from within their infrastructure, as well as transitioning a user to a competitor cloud provider in the event that something disastrous happens and they're no longer able to provide the service at all. And that leads us directly to number two, data lock-in. Following on from what we were just talking about, the cloud providers are very interested in getting your business, getting you to use their cloud environment, but making sure that you don't move, you don't go someplace else. They don't want it to be easy for you to move your data and your business to one of their competitors. So most of them provide some sort of a unique API, that's an application programming interface, to do many of the functions. So you can automate the creation of a new server. And many of the cloud providers provide this kind of a service. So you have your business running in the cloud, and you're using five or six computers to provide the support you need for your customer base. And as the traffic increases, maybe during the day or approaching one of the peaks that we talked about, you measure something about the way your systems perform. That would very possibly be using one of these unique APIs. At some point, you make the business decision that you need to add another server to the group of servers that are supporting your business. At that point, you need to issue some sort of a request to the cloud provider to say, create me one or two or 10 or 20 or however many new servers that look like this one. How that is done can be through some sort of a manual process, but most of the providers give you an opportunity to do that programmatically through one of these unique APIs. Now, another side of this same issue is there's no standardization for data extraction. So again, using some sort of a unique API or some sort of a specific mechanism for that particular cloud provider, you can extract the data from your systems on the cloud. But that mechanism is going to be different between all of the cloud providers. So if you move your cloud investment to another provider, the mechanisms that you've put into place, all of the procedures and policies and operational guidelines that you have in place for moving data back and forth between your corporate infrastructure and the cloud infrastructure have to change. So it's not something that is easy to do. So why do cloud providers do this? Because it provides them some protection. They can raise prices and attribute it to the characteristics that they've identified that differentiate them. So instead of being judged on a commodity basis across all of the other cloud providers that are out there, they have a non-commodity view of things and can differentiate in price as well. It also reduces the user's ability to change cloud providers if they're unhappy for something. Now you think, why would a cloud provider want an unhappy customer? Well, customers tend to not be totally happy or totally unhappy, but you're generally happy about the service that you're getting, but something happens. If it is extremely easy to change cloud providers, you might just do it. If it's very difficult to do, then you'll spend some time working with the cloud provider, work through the issue, come to some resolution that makes you happy and the cloud provider can live with. So it gives the cloud provider more of an opportunity to work with the customers, but also gives them a way of keeping the customers around unless it gets just terribly, terribly out of hand. So for number two, we have the opportunity of dealing with cloud providers that provide unique capabilities, things that are differentiating. But the obstacle is that we would like to get more of a commodity and have some way to move data back and forth and to move from one provider to another, or even to be able to use multiple providers so we don't have a single point of failure in a provider. But now there's no mechanism that allows us to move data back and forth easily between those two providers and balance the workload across them. Well, that's all the time we have for this radio show. I hope you've enjoyed our look at A View of Cloud Computing from the UC Berkeley Reliable Adaptive Distributed Systems Laboratory. I'll be discussing other topics from this paper in other radio shows, so look for the Microtech Exchange radio shows on cloud computing. I hope you've enjoyed today's presentation. If you have any questions or comments, please use the question comment box below. If you are interested in viewing my other shows, just search for the GoGo Radio Archive for Dr. Tim R. Norton with Simulytic Solutions, LLC. If there is a show you would like me to do, you can let me know by using the question and comment box. Thanks for your time today, and remember to tune into the GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com.